Welcome to How to Money. I'm Joel.
And I'm Matt.
And today we're discussing the benefits of knowing your hourly rate.
That's right, my plaid wearing buddy. We are, when you know your hourly rate, you can make more informed decisions regarding your time and money and how that applies to lots of areas in life, like your job, whether to DIY a project or not, and even finding a good deal.
Dude, I am wearing plaid. And
which is why I called you out.
And this, I wear a lot of plaid.
Yeah, no hate though.
Right, no. Yeah, I think
I like plaid.
In my opinion, I think we should all be wearing plaid all the time. But this shirt in particular, man, I have had for quite a long time. It's an old school thrift store shirt. I just actually was thinking this morning as I put this on, I have a lot of these old plaid thrift store shirts. And some of them are starting to get holes or frayed just a bit. You can tell that some of my lining's undoing and stuff.
The edge of where buttons up a little bit. It's getting a little threadbare.
Yeah.
The old school shirts like that, they last, right? Like that's one of the great things about spending time in a thrift store is that likely it serves somebody really well, probably some old guy in his 80s, right? And then we swoop in there and pick it up and wear it for another 5, even 10 years.
Yeah. I feel like those pieces are just, were made so much better than today's fast fashion, right? Than like an H&M shirt that lasts for a season and just looks terrible at the end. And it's something we've discussed on the show before. I think when we are able to allocate maybe a little bit more money towards something brand new that we would buy that is going to last a little bit longer, or if we're able to go to the thrift store and buy something that was made maybe a while back but stands the test of time when it comes to usability and how long it's going to last. I mean, this, who knows when this shirt was made? I need to see if I can find out on my tag. I probably can't. But I bet this is like 30 years old. I've had it for probably 12 and someone else wore it for probably 15 or 20.
Yeah.
And, you know, I got...
15 or 20, maybe. Maybe.
And it's funny, my neighbor behind me was super sad. He recently passed away. I'm going to miss my friend Benny. He was in his 80s, but he would give me occasionally his old shirts because he loved this style too. I dress like an 80-something year old man, I guess. He would wear...
I was not joking about wearing 80-year-old's clothes.
Right, so. Yeah. So he would seriously give me some of his hand-me-downs, his long-sleeve plaid shirts like with the snap pearl buttons and stuff. So those are good memories.
I feel like a mark of some of those older shirts too is that they have like codes printed on the tails of them, typically in the front. And I think the idea was that you would always tuck your shirt in because that's what they did 20 to 40 years ago.
Yeah, people didn't go untucked.
Yeah, exactly.
And now there's a company that makes shirts specifically for people who want to wear untucked shirts.
Oh, really?
I think it's called Untucked.
Oh, really?
Yeah, seriously.
Well, that's just how we live life anyway.
But yeah, yeah.
It's just funny because you see those codes and I think, I don't know what they're from, like whether it be from a dry cleaner or that's just how they made the shirts. But it's weird. It's like a code that's stamped on there. And every time I see that, it kind of cracks me up because I think this was never intended to be seen, but that's just, it's just how we wear it.
Yeah. And I can't tell you the last time I've tucked in a shirt. So I stay away from those when I'm at the thrift store.
Yeah.
And Matt, speaking of used clothes, I wanted to mention that, you know, you and I were drawing near to the due dates for our wives. Both of our wives are pregnant and both.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Both due with baby boys in like 2.5 months. It's getting exciting, getting real. And I want to say that Emily and I, we went last weekend to a store that sells used baby clothes and used baby items. And we sold a bunch of our old girl stuff because we're having a boy now. And we're like,
nice.
I don't know. This might be the end of the road for having babies. We're not sure. But we sold a bunch of old clothes. We made $170.
Sweet.
We were able to, at the same time, buy some really cool and cute used baby boy clothes for super cheap. And, you know, we've also got our eyes on a used stroller there that we might bring home with us. We'll see.
Nice, man.
But I think it's cool that those exist. It's a great place to take your old stuff. These things exist for adults too. Like Buffalo Exchange is kind of a nationwide.
Yeah, we talked about that before.
Yeah. Yeah. I can't think of the name right off the top of my head. It's close to my parents' house. I was impressed at the prices where we could get some really nice stuff for, our new upcoming baby boy and get some stuff for our girls too at the same time. So yeah, just really cool.
You know, what we need to get is a new baby car seat because the one that we had used for all three of our girls expired.
Oh, okay.
So we've got to get a new one, and I'm waiting to hear back from a friend of ours to see if we can borrow theirs because I think they might be done having babies at this point. But borrow or, you know, get it from some friends.
Yeah, and I know people are super weird about car seats because of the expiration date and all that kind of stuff.
As long as you trust them. I trust you, Pat. All right, let's move on to our beer for this episode, man. We are drinking a Seismic Positivity, which is a pretty cool name. Seismic positivity. I just like saying that.
Makes me think of an earthquake.
The seismic action. This is from Pipeworks Brewing Company out of Chicago. And this one was donated to us by Russ.
Yeah, Russ doesn't even live in Chicago, but he picked this up while he was there. He thought of us and sent us some beers. So, Russ, that's really kind of you, man.
Super sweet.
Thanks for donating this beer to the show.
I'm looking forward to drinking this. We'll talk about it at the end of the episode.
All right, but on to the topic at hand, my friend, the benefits of knowing your hourly rate. And the reason I think this is an important episode for us to cover is that most of us, we don't consider how much our time is worth. We make poor decisions about how do we spend our time, the work that we do, and the DIY stuff we tackle around the house because we don't know our hourly rate. So it can be really good for us to stand back and assess how we spend our time and what projects we pursue. And a quick example, Matt, from my life was when I first got my Nissan Leaf and I wanted to keep my electricity bill, I wanted to keep my charging costs as low as possible. And back then, this
sounds
was
like you, right?
Yeah, right. And back then, this was over 5 years ago. Free charging stations were kind of a thing because store owners and different municipalities were installing them, trying to incentivize electric vehicle driving. Well, that's kind of completely changed. And actually, free chargers are either getting ripped out or getting turned into paid chargers,
right? Yeah, paper charge.
But I remember when I first got my Leaf, there was a free charging station really close to my work. And so this was before I was biking to work. And I would hit up this charging station. I would wait in line sometimes because everybody that had a Leaf wanted to hit up this charging
station. Yeah, it's free. It feels like free gas is what it feels like, basically.
Exactly. Yeah. And it was this kind of like addictive kind of experience. Like, I can get this free charge. It's going to be so great. But really, when it came down to it, if I had factored in my hourly rate and how much time I was spending and really wasting, waiting in line, and then actually going through with getting my car charged, it was a complete waste of time because it really saved me very, very little money when it came down to it.
Yeah, the actual cost of electricity, if you do the math, I mean, you're talking about pennies and you're saving yourself at most a couple bucks if you maybe hit the level 2 charger or, you know, where it zapped it really quick.
Well, this was the quick charge, level 3.
Oh, level 3. Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah. Yep. So maybe it was a couple bucks.
A couple bucks, but still, yeah. Like, that's not much.
Well, that makes me think of the classic example as well of, you know, if you're looking for the very best gas prices and you might be willing to drive all across town just to find something that might be 5 or even 10 cents cheaper. So if you're looking at a full tank of gas, maybe 20 gallons, like you're only looking at $2.
And that would be a big tank for most people.
A huge tank.
Yeah.
I've only done that once or twice in our van. And I know that meant that we literally were about to run out of gas because I think it's like a 19 gallon tank or something like that. Yeah. And that also makes me think of just back in the day, I would spend way too much time like looking for a deal online. You know, just like looking at different retailers and searching for coupon codes and even not making a purchase right away, but just like waiting and just rechecking the website and seeing like, you know, if the price was going to go down. Maybe I saved 10 or 20 bucks if it was a large purchase, but overall, just completely not worth it for me to have spent my time that way.
Yeah, I think, and we're going to get into this, there is some nuance to be had, right? Because I don't think either of us would say, don't wait for a sale to buy airfare, right? Or something like that. You know, and if you can quickly find a coupon code to save 20 bucks and it takes you less than 10 minutes, well, that's likely worth it.
Yeah, or even 10 seconds, right? Like if you can just search it real quick, give it a go, see what you find, and then move on.
Yeah. But I think there are so many benefits to knowing your hourly rate. So I think this is going to be hopefully really helpful when people are kind of factoring in, you know, whether they do spend that extra time in order to get the deal or in order to even go maybe just a little bit out of their way to get that cheaper gasoline. So let's start off with kind of do-it-yourself stuff. And I think if you're decently handy, it's important to have a method of figuring out whether or not you should try to repair something yourself. Just because you can fix something, well, it doesn't necessarily mean you should or that it makes the most financial sense for you to do that.
Knowing your hourly rate basically will act as a filter to help you to decide whether to take on a project or not. I think of just different tasks, you know, or projects around the house that you can do that might be a little more specialty, right? Like a specialty sort of job where it's not something you do all the time. So it might take a little bit more research. It might take just a little more work to get that thing done.
Yeah. So for me recently, I needed to get new brakes on our Mazda 5. And so I reached out to a couple local mechanics to get quotes on getting the brakes done. And I talked to my friend Tim, who's super DIY enthusiast, actually has a podcast called You Can Man. And they talk about that kind of stuff. And Tim was like trying to convince me that I needed to do it myself and that that's what manly dudes do. So I felt a little ashamed that I was like, nah, I'm not going to do it.
He was appealing to the plaid wearing Joel.
Exactly. Yeah. And so, yeah, part of me wanted to do the brakes myself. And, you know, Tim and I, we've done the brakes on my car together before. And I feel like I kind of sort of know how to do them. But to me, it would have been like relearning this skill afresh. And it would have taken a long time, probably a full day for me to do it. And I'm sure other people who know what they're doing can probably do it in like an hour and a half, 2 hours. But for me, it was going to take longer than that. I don't have the tools or the know-how.
Yeah.
And so I just knew, based on, you know, how much I value my time at, that it wasn't worth it for me to attempt that myself based on all the other things that I have juggling in my life right now. And so if it were something super simple, then I would have tackled it, or something that I felt prepared to handle. But I knew that this was just a little bit too far out of my league, and I didn't quite have the time to dedicate towards learning this new skill, even though it's a skill I think I would like to have one of these days.
Yeah, Joel, exactly. That's a, you know, that's a conversation you and I have had before specifically. And the fact is, though, you don't even need to be handy, or, you know, like, it doesn't even need to be a specialty job. It can just be a basic task or chore. I think of even just cleaning the house. I think there's a couple reasons maybe why we do things like this. Obviously, we're talking about money, and, you know, we think that it's a way for us to save money. But I think a lot of times too, there's certain things that are ingrained in how we view things, right? Like, you may have grown up in a house, I know I did, where we cleaned our own house. And you might be in a completely different financial situation now where you don't need to clean your house, or it would make sense for you to not clean your house. It might be something that you hate doing. You might make a ton of money per hour, and instead you could pay someone to do that. But you kind of have stuck in your mind that, oh no, this is what you do. And maybe you haven't stepped back and sort of look at the situation from that different viewpoint to sort of question as to whether or not this is something that you should continue to do.
Yeah. And I think, you know, as we get further along into this episode, we're going to find that it doesn't all come down just to your hourly rate.
Right, right.
There are some things we choose to do because it's good for us, or it's a challenge, or it's important for us to get better at a certain task, or to feel productive in a way that's outside of our normal everyday work. So we definitely have to take those things into consideration, and we'll discuss that further later on.
And while we're still talking about sort of the DIY sort of projects and jobs and chores and things, thinking about your brake job, Joel, it makes me think of too, like, what if you actually mess something up?
And then I have to get it towed?
Yeah.
And then it costs me extra money?
Or, you know, you think you have it right and you start driving and it turns out your brakes don't work, right? Like, that would be even worse.
And then I slam into a light pole
and
or other cars.
And it costs you way more money, yeah. And then you get labeled cheap versus frugal, right?
Right.
I think there's certain jobs like that, that you do run the risk of maybe doing it, and then there's a chance that we mess it up even more. And then we have to take it to the pro anyway. So we've lost money. And then on top of that, we've lost a lot more time, because a lot of times I think with these projects, we tend to underestimate the amount of time that they take. I know I'm super guilty of that. It's a classic thing for me to say that, oh yeah, I'm just going to do this real quick. Oh yeah, I'm going to hang the curtains. It'll take 10 minutes. And then a full hour later, I'm like, oh my gosh, totally underestimated that. My whole family's mad at me because I'm supposed to be doing something else. This may or may not have happened tonight before we started recording.
Yeah, it's important to be realistic, right, about how much time it's going to take, so that we can accurately kind of take into account whether it's worth our time or not. And I think it's important to mention too that, and I don't know if this is always the case, but it at least feels like this for me, that when I was younger, my hourly rate was, I could afford myself, right? Like, I could afford,
like, quote unquote, afford yourself.
Right. Like, I could afford to take the time. I had fewer obligations. I was making less money. It was really good for me to YouTube things, to try to figure things out, especially as like a landlord trying to hone his skills and get a few things done less expensively. It felt really important to me, and I felt like I actually had the time to dedicate towards learning some skills and trying some things out. And I think, you know, some of us might realize that depending on what phase of life we're in, we might have the ability to spend a little bit of extra time now because our hours just aren't worth quite as much. And maybe later on down the road in life, we value our time differently because our hourly rate has gone up. And so I just think it's important to note that that's something that can change with time and something that you should kind of continue to pay attention to.
Another area of life that I think is worth considering is when it comes to making purchases, right? Like, the same thing applies with secondhand and buying things used. You've got to consider the time that goes into just saving a few bucks. You know, you mentioned kind of going up to the baby store. It sounds like that really worked out for you guys. Maybe you said it was near your parents. So I'm guessing you kind of combine that swing over to that store with visiting your folks.
Oh, totally. Yeah.
It's not like you drove all the way up there to this one store that pays primo for the baby products. But you've got to consider, is that worth my time? Kind of a classic case where this applies is, do you go to Saturday morning yard sales? Because sure, you can spend 30 minutes or an hour or a couple hours scouring different yard sales and going through different heaps of things. But is it actually worth your time to maybe find a deal on an item that's maybe half as much of what you could buy it for new in the store?
Yeah, and I think a lot of us will find that thrift store shopping, that yard sales, that used baby stores.
Those activities
right. are maybe worth our time. Maybe they're fun for us at the same time. And that's something that we need to take into consideration. But when we look at those activities in light of our hourly rate at the same time, it does change the whole complexion. Especially if you're working full time, you have families that have needs and that you have to attend to. Spending your time in a way that just doesn't move the needle when it comes to the return that you get just doesn't make a whole lot of sense. So that's why we're going to dial in specifically on what it looks like to calculate your hourly rate. And we'll start to get into that right after the break.
All right, Joel, later on in the show, we're going to talk about how to actually calculate your true hourly rate. But before that, we're going to talk about your hourly rate and the impact that that has on how you view your 9-to-5 job. Knowing your true hourly rate will allow you to see how much you're actually making at work. There's a few things you want to consider, and you might be surprised. It may not be quite what you thought it was. And so there's a few things you want to consider. And Joel, why don't you kick it off?
Yeah, I think most of us think of whether we're paid by the hour or paid a salary every year. We break that salary down to an average hourly rate. We tend to think that's exactly what we make per hour. But there are other things to take into consideration when we're thinking about what we actually make when it comes to our work. And Matt, one of those things is time. We have to take into account the time that it takes us to get ready in the mornings, the commute time to and from work, the potential after hours that we have to work or that we might be on call or have to respond to emails or text, stuff like that. Any time that we have to dedicate to our 9-to-5 job or whatever hours you might work.
Don't discriminate. It could be 9-to-6.
You could be a fireman. You could be working the one on, two off. But that's one thing you need to take into account, right? Is all the extra time that goes into your work that isn't actually part of your work.
That's right, man. Oftentimes, I think we completely underestimate the actual amount of time that we dedicate towards our jobs. And then something else to consider is additional costs. Granted, this isn't time, but it's really easy to quantify the cost of things associated with your work, like the cost of your commute. Maybe you work in a position that requires just nicer clothes. And so you want to make sure to keep those things in mind as well. And also, let's mention taxes. They're not an expense, but every paycheck you receive has federal and state taxes taken out. Unless you live in one of the 7 states without income tax. We're not going to spend much time on taxes, on whether or not you should consider your gross pay versus your net pay, mostly because you'll likely have to pay taxes regardless of what job you have.
Yeah, and in the same way you figure out additional time and costs associated with your work, you also have to consider non-salary perks that you are afforded because you have a job, right? Like healthcare, retirement benefits, potentially even like a gym or childcare if you have those options where you work. There are certain benefits that you might receive that are harder to quantify, but attempting to quantify those is really important because those benefits, you don't necessarily think of them when your paycheck comes in, but there are certainly things that you end up not paying for because of that tangible benefit that you get at your job. So it's important to factor those in too when you're thinking about your hourly rate.
Kind of makes me think of all those office snacks. Do you have folks that come by, like vendors that drop off meals or like office snacks for you guys at your job?
Every once in a while, yeah.
Donuts. Like, hey, donuts in the break room.
yeah. So that is nice. Yeah, when someone comes by and brings some free food, it's rare. But when it does, it's like, all right.
Yeah, I think if you and I both worked at the same place like that, they would be like, where did all the donuts go?
You know, interestingly enough, Publix every once in a while brings like old loaves of bread for some reason.
No way.
I don't know why they put it in our break room. So
done.
Sometimes you'll see me walking out with like 2 baguettes under my arms.
Like Joel's bike panniers are so full. I wonder what's in there.
I know, right?
Lots of bread. And so the reason that we would encourage folks to consider these things is because if you're making less than you would like to, that's sort of a flag. That should be a nudge for you to try to negotiate a raise, or maybe you can push for more flexible work options or, you know, even additional benefits. You talked about some of those intangibles or those sort of perks that you get. See if you can push for additional benefits that would effectively increase your hourly rate by asking yourself, how much am I actually getting paid? This might allow you to sort of re-examine your job, look at it in a different light, to ask yourself, is it really worth it? In particular, if you're working part-time, I think this is a question that you can ask yourself because you might be going through all these things, right? Like getting ready, doing the commute. But if you realize you're only pulling in part-time income, or if you actually have a part-time job, it might be really easy for you to kind of realize and pinpoint that, man, this really isn't worth my time. And granted, realizing that might sort of be a luxury, right? I think a lot of folks are in a position where they don't really have an option in the job that they have. Like they are making the absolute most that they're going to be able to maybe in that season of life or even in that specific field. And they know that there are other reasons that they're going to continue to work there We'll touch on some of those topics in the last segment of this episode. But, you know, I realize that it's sort of a luxury to say, oh, man, this job isn't worth it anymore. Or to think, oh, I'm not getting paid enough. But, you know, I realize that that's not a position that everybody is in.
I think you're completely right on that, Matt. But the other important thing to note is that the more that you have your financial ground game together, the more that you have implemented some of the strategies that we've talked about in this podcast, you know, up until now, the more you have in savings, the less debt you have in your life, the more ability you have to start to ask these questions, the more freedom you feel to ask your employer for a raise or just for additional benefits. I think sometimes the fear and insecurity that comes from not having an emergency fund and having revolving credit card debt in our lives actually leads us to an overall mindset of fear that keeps us from asking these questions and thinking about our work in this specific way. So I do want to acknowledge that not everyone's in this position that they can, you know, take advantage of all these things right now. But at the same time, you can work towards that. And the way that you work towards asking these questions and thinking in this manner is by, at the same time, getting your personal finances in order today, right?
Yeah, man. That's exactly why we talk about personal finance multiple times every week. It's because we've seen the freedom and the options that it gives folks when it comes to their time and their money specifically. And so another area of life that you're able to examine when you know your hourly rate is when you're considering looking at other work options. Maybe you're looking at some hustles or some side gigs, or maybe you're looking at a different position altogether. When you know your hourly rates, you can determine pretty easily whether or not they are worth your time, at least when it comes to the numbers. And so in the same way that you're considering your hourly rate at your main job, you want to make sure, though, that you are doing that with your side gig or with your side hustle. Because I think a lot of times we can be tempted into thinking that the grass is greener on the other side. You think, oh, man, I can make so much more if I do this on the side, or look how much additional money I can bring in. But you're not calculating those additional costs, the additional time, the additional wear and tear on assets that might be employed in that side gig. I'm specifically thinking of Uber and Lyft, right? Like, people aren't taking into account the costs associated with maintaining their vehicles. And so in the same way that we're going to scrutinize and determine our hourly rate when it comes to our regular 9-to-5, you want to also make sure that you're considering those things when it comes to your other gigs and your side hustles.
Yeah, even within your own professional field, you might have freelance options that come to you. And when you know your hourly rate, that will give you confidence to charge what you need to in order to make it worth your time. There's nothing worse than taking on a gig and then realizing that it's going to take longer than you thought it was going to, and you feel like you're getting underpaid, you're underappreciated, basically because you're not making what you're worth. And figuring out your hourly rate can help you make sure you don't say yes to projects that are going to be a waste of your time or lead to you being underpaid. And that's really important, especially for artistic types, right? I think we've seen in recent years a trend for creatives to stick up for the fact that they need to get paid and paid appropriately for what they do. Often creatives are asked to do things for exposure, right? In order to, to get their name out there. Hey, will you do this for free because it will lead to this theoretical opportunity for you in the future? And you know what? Maybe that is worth your time. Maybe, depending on what that opportunity is. But I think at the same time, we've seen that creatives oftentimes don't get rewarded for what they've done because they haven't figured out their hourly rate and they haven't placed the right value on their time because of it.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's what it comes down to. It's not that the company or whoever it is that's pitching the work to the creative is undervaluing them. They're a business. They're trying to get the best product for the lowest cost, right? It comes down to the individual themselves. It comes down to you as a creative or you as a freelancer to figure out, what am I actually worth here? Because it's up to you to be an advocate for yourself and make sure that you're getting paid what you need to get paid. So for example, like, I think about taking a headshot, right? Like, as a photographer, like, that doesn't take very much time. Like, someone thinks, oh, you just show up, you take a couple of pictures, and then you go home and you email it to me, right? Well, there's a lot that goes into setting up a shot.
I can just do that with my Android phone. Yeah. Come on, dude.
And so could I, but there's a lot of things I know to do before you snap that button with your Android phone that most people probably aren't aware of.
Completely, yeah.
And same thing too with, like, you know, before photography, I used to be a graphic designer. A lot of times folks think, oh, you're just kind of putting words together. You're creating a logo.
How hard can it be?
Like, it's super easy.
Right.
And like, even though, yes, it's a simple task, but knowing exactly how to design it, how to lay it out, knowing what treatment to apply to the typography, like what colors to use, what textures. I mean, there's just so much that goes into it that someone who is hiring out undervalues unless they understand and have done this before. And so it's up to you as an individual contractor to communicate that. And a lot of times that's through your rates or your price.
Yeah, Matt, I've always thought that a monkey could probably do my job if trained for just a few short hours. But really, when
as
I
long
think,
as you train them, though.
Right, exactly, yeah. But like the same thing, right? A monkey could click the shutter and take a picture.
Monkeys actually have done that.
I'm sure, yeah.
Yeah, there's actually, there's this whole story of this photographer who set up a camera in the rainforest. And one of the things he was able to do was to get the monkeys to take the picture themselves.
Oh, that's awesome.
And these images came out to be amazing because, I mean, the monkeys are all up on the camera and they're incredibly detailed. They're beautiful. And an animal rights group sued the photographer because they were saying, no, those images belong to the monkey. Like, I don't want to dive into that, but
do we have monkey copyright law or how does that work?
I mean, they're basically trying to advocate for the animals. It's kind of crazy, but you said that. And so I had to dive into that a little bit.
No, that's fascinating. Well, and I think too, like editing audio, right? Like that's not all I do, but a monkey could likely be trained to edit audio well.
Or at least an elephant.
Or at least an elephant. They're very smart. But it makes me think of this story about Pablo Picasso, and I'm probably going to butcher it, but this lady saw him painting in a park and she said, hey, will you paint a portrait of me really quickly? And he did it. He like quickly in 30 seconds, quickly painted this portrait of her. It was abstract and it was beautiful. And he hands it to her and she's like, thank you so much. This is amazing. What do I owe you? And he says, $50,000. And she's like, what? That took you 30 seconds. And he says, it took me my whole life, actually.
Right.
And yeah, it's true. It's like these things that we have learned how to do that we've gotten good at that have become part of our skill set. It's not just how long it took us, how quickly we can, you know, whip together 500 words to send over to somebody, or how quickly you can snap someone's headshot, right? It is all of these other things that go into the process that make it truly valuable to someone else. And so I think if we think of our work in those terms, then it kind of completely changes the landscape of how we view our hourly rate. We don't think of it just as 1 hour of our time, but we take into consideration kind of that lifetime of learning and skill building that goes into the whole project as well.
So true, Joel. However, what's incredibly important to keep in mind though is that money, that is not the only consideration that you need to be giving towards your work. There's one really important thing that you want to make sure that you keep in mind, and we'll get to that right after the break.
All right, Matt, in just a second, we are going to get into the specific way to calculate your hourly rate. That's really important, right? When you know that number, it helps you know when to say yes, when to say no. It helps you kind of just know what your time is worth. It helps you to know whether to say yes to a DIY project at home or a side hustle project that falls in your lap, right? But that is not the only thing we need to take into consideration, right? We need to take into consideration whether we do something because we love it, right? And so it's not always about the money. Money doesn't have to be the final filter that you run all your decisions through. I think it's helpful, right? But it's not the only one. You might have a job that you love that may not pay the absolute best. You could maybe go elsewhere and get paid more, but you decide to stay because you love your coworkers. You love the tasks that you perform. I know for me, I chose specifically, Matt, to work in radio, knowing that it would pay less than probably something else I could have gone to do, but it was a passion of mine. It was something I really wanted to do, and I don't regret that at all.
Yeah, you're set to go to Harvard Law, but instead you thought, you know what? I want to talk into this microphone for the rest of my life.
Right. I was so close to achieving that, wasn't I?
Well, you know, and you mentioned loving it, but I don't think you even have to necessarily love it. But I think even just enjoying something, right? Or being curious about it. Earlier, you talked about wanting to learn something and how that could better you as a person. I think there's another level there too, where it may not be necessarily something that you love to do, but you're really curious and you want to learn and you kind of want to better yourself. There can be a lot of benefits that we get from certain types of work that are not at all related to earning money, but they might make us a better or more well-rounded person.
Right. I completely agree. Take, for example, repairs around the house. If I'm just taking into account my hourly wage, well, it probably doesn't make sense for me to mow my own lawn because I can have someone mow it pretty inexpensively. But for me, I like to get out there on a hot summer's day. I like to kind of sweat it out, listen to my tunes or a podcast and cut my grass. And there's something just really fulfilling about the final product.
Yeah. I don't know what it is about cutting your own grass, but like, I completely agree with you. Like before you start, it looks like garbage. There's leaves maybe strewn about. Wild little dandelions kind of growing up through, but then you fire up that lawnmower, you hit it, and then when you're all done, looks like you have a real legitimate house. You know, it's like, look at that yard.
Yeah.
And the big boy.
I just feel like a loser if I'm sitting there drinking some lemonade just because my time is worth, quote unquote, a certain amount, watching somebody else mow my lawn. Like, it just doesn't feel right. And so I think you have to take into consideration those things. And there are other things that are similar to that that I don't mind doing. But then there are other things that, like we talked about, my break job, that I'm just way more comfortable farming out to somebody else.
And so earlier we talked as well about making purchases, like shopping, right? And so when it comes to that, it's worth considering your values. It might not be the wisest decision from a financial standpoint for you to spend a bunch of your time going to thrift stores, hitting up the garage sales, but you know, for you, deep down, you might realize that it is important to you to help reduce the waste and consumption in the world. And maybe there's a part of you that sort of relishes in the hunt, you know, to find that good deal. And you know that it's not worth your time, but you know what? You really enjoy it. And at the same time, it lines up with how you view consumption and purchasing new items. Being able to live in a way that reflects your core beliefs goes beyond the dollar. And it's not something that you can often quantify, but deep down for you personally, you know that you're doing the right thing.
Yeah. And like one of those values might be realizing that you want to get better at something, knowing that you want to learn a new skill. I think there are just all sorts of different ways that we can rationalize and acceptably rationalize that we are willing to take on things that don't necessarily pay our hourly rate, but there are other reasons that make it worthwhile.
Yeah, you know, something else I'm just realizing now. One of the reasons I think I like cutting grass so much is because what I basically do all day, I sit down and I'm sitting at a computer. And I think for a lot of people, that's the case, right? Like you're sitting there, you're not moving your body. And one of the things I love to do is work outside in the yard. And a reason for that is because I love being able to move around, move my body, work my muscles, feel a little bit sore that night when I lay down in bed and sleep well at night. So much of our work these days is digital and doesn't require, you know, hardly any movement at all from our bodies except for our fingers, you know, on a keyboard or on the mouse. And so I think finding ways to incorporate manual labor into our lives is a very worthwhile endeavor.
Yeah, it pays dividends that go beyond straight up money, right? Straight
up balance. Your health, right? What's more valuable than that in the long term?
Yeah. And I think another thing to take into consideration besides those things is how readily available is your work? Just because you've identified that you make $50 or $100 an hour, well, that doesn't automatically mean that you can pay for any chore or errand where you can pay someone $15 an hour instead. Most folks can't just turn on the money spigot and do some work whenever they want to earn additional money. It's not like there's work just stacked up for us that we can put off until the exact moment that we want to do it.
Yeah, if you're lucky, maybe you are in that position. And that sounds kind of amazing, but that's not the case for most folks, right?
Right, right. Yeah. So you have to take into consideration whether or not you could spend that additional time that you are farming out those tasks actually working and bringing in some income. And that's definitely an important thing to make sure you've thought through before you start hiring a cleaning service or paying someone to mow your lawn.
That's right, man. And so now let's go ahead and dive into how to actually calculate your hourly rate. It shouldn't be a surprise to most folks that it's pretty simple, but you just take the number of hours you work a week and you multiply that by the number of weeks that you work.
Do we need like MC squared or anything like that in this formula?
Not at all, man.
Oh, good, good.
And so for example, let's say you work 40 hours a week and you can multiply that by, let's say 50 weeks of the year, assuming you know you get a couple weeks off around the holidays, maybe a week off in the summer, that kind of thing. And that gives you 2,000 hours a year that you work. And as an example, let's say that you make $50,000 a year. So you just take that and you divide that by the 2,000 hours. That gives you $25 an hour. Seems pretty straightforward. But let's not forget to add in that additional time that we talked about when you're trying to quantify your true hourly rate. You know, you're talking maybe about 15 minutes getting ready in the morning. Let's say a 30-minute commute each way to work. And then, you know, Joel, you mentioned time that you spend in the evenings doing more work. Maybe that's just doing some emails or even kind of getting back to a few texts or even taking a call. And so that's basically an hour and a half. You're looking at 7.5 hours every week.
Which honestly sounds kind of light on the scale, right? Of what most people
truly
are doing. Most people are working more than that outside of that regular 40-hour day job.
Yeah, exactly. I feel like that's fairly conservative. But, you know, for a week, though, you're looking at 47.5 hours total. And so that same $50,000 salary, it's not paying $25 an hour anymore. It is now only paying $21 an hour. I mean, that's almost a 20% pay cut, right? That may not seem a lot to you, but like that's a lot of money. And so I don't know, this isn't super difficult to do, but we want to encourage folks to actually like do the math. maybe take note of the additional time that you put towards your work. Jill, ever since episode 90, where we had Laura on talking about valuing your time, I actually started logging my time to see where is my time going? How much time am I spending on different things in my life? How much time am I spending on work? How much time am I spending on family? Because it's sort of like we said then, it's sort of like tracking your spending. Like you can't make improvements and you can't make informed decisions until you know what you're actually spending. And that's true when it comes to your money and with your time. And so I would encourage folks, you know, if not, start logging your time to at least try to think through how much time am I actually spending on my work? Because from there, you can start making some informed decisions as to whether or not your work is worth it and what changes you can make there.
Yeah, so this actually makes me think two things as we go through the process of helping people see the formula with which they can figure out their hourly rate. It makes me think that one, people might be getting paid less than they thought they were. People might think, oh, I'm making a good salary, or oh, my hourly rate's strong. When you factor in these—
But they work 70 hours a week, right?
Yeah. Right, yeah. Especially when you take into account the commute, getting ready, all these other things that go into work that we don't typically factor in. Well, their hourly rate is actually less than they thought it was. And I think the second thing it makes me think is that there are ways that we can then improve our hourly rate. And that's not something that we're going to get into on this episode. I'll just mention briefly, really quickly, that, you know, a shorter commute or spending less on clothing associated with our work. Like these are things that we can actually directly bring down the costs that are related to our work and therefore improve our hourly rate. There are all sorts of other ways to do this as well, right? But I think for some people, it may be an eye opener that when they actually see their hourly rate and they stare it in the face, that maybe it needs to lead to some change in the things that we actually tackle on our own and the services that we hire out and maybe how we commute to work. I don't know, like all these different things that we can change based on seeing this.
Yeah, man, exactly. You know, hopefully that this episode is essentially a wake-up call and will allow folks to examine the areas of life that we've talked about in this episode.
I know sometimes just reframing an issue, just seeing the problem in a new light, just being cognizant of what my hourly rate actually is. I think if we do this, it's going to lead to all sorts of maybe not major changes, maybe major changes, but maybe just these little changes, right? And that right. Give us a little more confidence, that give us a little more know-how, and that just kind of change our perspective in terms of ways that we shop and the ways that we live outside of work too.
Let's go ahead now, and I'll direct us back to the beer for this episode. We had Seismic Positivity by Pipeworks Brewing, and a big thanks again to Russ. This is a beer out of Chicago. I will say, upon first sip, I was blown away at how fresh this beer tasted. I don't know, I guess because it's Chicago, which sounds really far away. In my mind, that's just too far away.
I mean, it wasn't getting shipped on horseback, dude.
Yeah, like, exactly. Like old postal service carrier, you know, like on a horse.
Imagining like the Oregon Trail and your beer taking that long to get there.
I'm thinking of the Kevin Costner movie, The
Postman. Would someone die of dysentery on the way for us to get our beer?
Yeah, at least a broken wagon axle or two, you know. Actually, all I did in Oregon Trail was hunt. You know, this scene where like you go in the hunt and shoot
I would always get way more meat than I could carry back to my family.
Yeah, you're the family that died of dysentery.
Probably.
But I don't know. In my mind, I guess because it's far away, I'm silly. But I thought, okay, this will be pretty good. But yeah, when I sipped this beer, man, it tasted alive and fresh. And this is exactly what I'm looking for out of an IPA. Totally blown away. Love this beer and would highly recommend it to anyone living in and around Chicago. Check them out.
Next time I'm in Chicago, I'm going to have to hit up.
Nowhere to go.
Pipeworks for sure. It was bright and it was hoppy in this perfect way, I thought. So I really enjoyed the beer too. And big thanks to Russ for sending this one our way.
Cool. So Joel, you know, on this one, I don't think we're going to do a final thoughts. Like overall, this is a fairly simple concept and we spent a lot of time talking about it and fleshing it out. But like when it comes down to it, it's not crazy difficult. Although the numbers can kind of be tricky when we're talking about them on the podcast. So, you know, in the show notes, we can kind of put the little formula there for you to, you know, see all that laid out and you can kind of plug in your own numbers and hopefully that'll make that easier for you.
Yeah. And I think if people start logging their time, kind of like you
did,
right, that can actually help you see, okay, well, what hours am I actually putting towards work? What are these extra extraneous hours that I thought were mine that really they're going towards getting ready for work, getting to work, coming home from work, winding down, all these kind of things? That will really help us kind of reframe and do the math correctly so that we can get an accurate view of what our hourly rate actually is.
Yeah, Joel, that's right. And so again, you know, those show notes will be up on the website at howtomoney.com. And if you found this episode helpful, just share it with a friend who you think might enjoy two dudes talking about money in a relatable way.
Or even an enemy, right? You can, the person that you hate the most in this life,
yeah,
tell them about this podcast. And you know what? It might be the perfect way to get under their skin.
I think you would call them a frenemy because they're like, they're helping me, but I hate that person. So what are they trying to do?
You know what? That term just finally clicked in my head. I get it. I understand it. All right. That was a good one, Matt. Until next time, buddy. Best friends out.
Best friends out.